Oh, it is good to see you tonight. It's certainly a pleasure for us to be with you. It's been a little while, and I see familiar faces, see new faces. It's nice to be here. And I'm going to introduce ourselves a little bit to give you an idea of who we are in case we're new to you and kind of get a grasp of what we do and what we've been doing now for almost 20 years. We've been in Nicaragua for 18 years. And you guys have been with us as a church for almost 20 years now. So you've been supporting us and just been a part of that ministry. We've had a mission team down there with us to help us with some church plants and working with kids and such. And so when you see the things that you see tonight, I hope you understand that we're an extension of your ministry. We're there to serve as ambassadors for Christ. And in doing that, we're representing you and your church in Nicaragua. And the things that you see here tonight are the result of your prayers over the years, whether you knew it or not. I mean, you may not know the guys on the screen. You may not say, oh, that's Juan. I know him. You may not be able to, you know, name them, but those are guys that you've prayed for in our church planning program, or you've prayed for in different things that have gone on in Nicaragua. It's been an interesting place to live for 18 years, and it gets weirder all the time. So we'll talk about that tonight. When you think about Central America, you realize now that our world is just, it's all, revuelto is the word in Spanish. What is that? Upside down in a lot of ways. We came out of COVID and those things really affected our part of the world. We say when the U.S. sneezes, Latin America gets the flu. It's just worse because everything is was really devastated after all of that happened. Because all of the tourism where we are just died, that means all the hotels closed and the restaurants closed and a lot of the factories closed that make all your clothes, they closed. So those things are closed, and so that really killed the economy where we are, and that is why you see just so many thousands of people heading north. They're looking for help and they're looking for aid. That affects the churches where we are because those churches and leaders within those churches have left and leaves big holes in those churches, and even pastors have left to try and find help for their families. And so all of that's happening, and we know it affects North America, but just think of what it's left behind down in Central America and South America. It's left big holes in ministries and churches and schools, and those kind of things are what we see all the time. And so we see in Nicaragua, we're in the middle of the road right there, and so we see thousands of people coming through our country all the time. They fly into our country and hop on a bus and head north. They come up from the south, and they're just looking for some kind of help, some kind of future, and it's very, very sad, but it's affected all of the ministries all throughout that region, and we're in that world. We're in that time of change all over the place. The whole world seems like it's a real mess, doesn't it? Yeah, we all agree on that one. You can ask that to anybody. Man, the world's a mess. Yeah, it pretty much is. It's bad. And so we even see this where we are, especially in Nicaragua. Our country is normally aligned with you guys, who you guys would consider the bad guys. That's who Nicaragua aligns with. Cuba, Venezuela, Iran, those countries are the countries that we align with. And so we feel like there's a little bit of a mounting pressure coming where we are. And so we're going to talk about a little bit of that tonight, but also talk about the other side of that. In the midst of all this mess that we see around us, man, God is doing some incredible things all around the world in missions and in churches and church planting and things like that. So I hope you see that tonight, that even though things are a real mess, God is doing just a wonderful work in our part of the world. And so that's what we want to kind of show you tonight. Well, again, we've been with you for a number of years. One of our main ministries you'll see tonight is the Instituto de Sembradores de Iglesias. It's a church planting program that we have. And we have been in Nicaragua living for 18 years, and that's our view from our ministry center there, right straight towards the volcano. It's a beautiful place to be. The people are wonderful. We have a great time working in churches there. The people are great. I feel safe when I go out all over the country and visit places. Really, if you're careful, it is a pretty safe place to live. But it has a certain set of challenges that we'll kind of walk through tonight. Our kids grew up in Central America, in Nicaragua. We were blessed with a good Christian school that they were able to go to and graduate from. And then they came back to Florida to go to school up in Lakeland. God provided for their education. And we told them from the very beginning, man, you got to pray for a provision for your education. God did. It was amazing. God provided for them to go to college. And Peter's gone on and done even some more schooling. If you could pray for both of them, they're kind of in a time of change. Peter is graduating now from Alabama with a master's and is coming down to UCF to work on a doctorate there. He's involved in everything that has words in it. That's the best way I can explain it. Whatever it is, if it has words, he's involved in that kind of stuff. But they have a great technical program there, and he's looking at that. And then Emma also is changing jobs. She's looking for a job right now. She's living with my mom up there for a while, but she just changed jobs. Friday was her last day. But that's a prayer request for our kids. God has always been faithful along the way to provide for them. And the great thing is that now they're seeing that more and more apart from their parents. You know, when you're growing up, you're taking care of your kids, or sometimes the things that God does are things that God does for you, and it helps your kid. But now they're in that position where they're seeing God provide for them personally. And so that's a big, big thing for them. Theme for the evening. Are you ready for this? In Spanish, in Nicaragua especialmente, we say, quizás no pase nada. Quizás no pase nada. So what do you see in that picture? Does that look like a good idea? Is that how you transport stuff? You hop on your motorcycle and you carry a big metal door across you? There's two people on the bike. So the guy in the front's driving, and the guy in the back has a whole lot of faith, doesn't he? He can't see a thing. He's holding on with both hands to the door, and it's like a sail in the wind. And that's him just heading down the highway. This is not a side road. This is a highway. This is not the first time I've seen this. This is just the best picture I have. I've seen guys with a mattress, a queen-size mattress between them, riding on motorcycles. If you've been in the region, you've seen it. You've seen whole families on motorcycles, dads driving three or four kids in the middle, and then mom on the back. They're just all tucked in there. The kids are asleep, and they're just, you know, they're fine. Because what? Maybe nothing will happen. That's what it means. Quizás no pase nada. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe it'll be fine. Maybe you'll just, you know, get there and it won't be a problem. I'm driving down the road and you see guys with a stack of lumber on top of their car and they're holding on to it with just their hands. And you just think, man, it's a recipe for disaster. But they're thinking, maybe nothing will happen. Maybe it'll be fine. Now, you laugh, but you've done it, haven't you? You see the gas light come on. And you say to yourself, I got 10, 20 miles. I don't know. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe I'll get home. Maybe I won't. The lights come on, the engine light. And you say, oh, that's probably just the gas cap. I'll adjust that. And maybe nothing will happen. A lot of Christians live that way. The warning lights come on, but they just kind of keep going. And they just like, well, maybe it'll be okay. Maybe I'll be fine. Living in Central America and South America, sometimes life is like that. You really don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. And in our case right now in Nicaragua, we have to get permissions now every month to stay in the country. It's really getting a little bit more and more difficult, and it's a real headache to do that because we have to submit financials and get permission from all these different offices just to stay in the country. And we don't know how long we're going to be there right now. We're in that situation. We have to renew our residency every 6 months now. We don't know. Is it going to get renewed? Are we going to be allowed to stay? And so far, we've stayed. A lot of other people have not been able to stay, but we're still there. But every day is that question in our head. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe we'll be able to continue working here. We don't know. That is the reality of where we exist in right now in Nicaragua. And there's a bunch of great stuff going on. In the midst of that, where we're saying, man, I hope we can stay. Man, look at all the things that are happening. It's really pretty cool to see what God is doing. Well, let's look at the scriptures. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Okay, and so we know that God takes care of his own. We know that God is faithful. He has a plan and purpose for our lives, and he's going to work out that plan according to his will. And so there's a part of that that has to be grounded in what the promises of God are, that God takes care of his own, that God is watching out for us. But then it says a little further, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. And in the King James, it uses the word happy are ye. Both of those translations are accurate, but even there's another way to look at it as you are overly blessed when you get to suffer for righteousness' sake. Is that how you look at suffering? Don't think of your missionaries as any more spiritual than anybody else. When suffering comes, when I have to sit in an office, in the government office for hours and hours on it, I don't look at that and say, man, I just can't wait to sit in there. It's 100 degrees today, and it's going to be even better than ever. It is tough to enjoy suffering. But that, when we say enjoy, it's different from joy. Can we have joy in suffering? Can we be thankful in the midst of that? That's what that verse, that's what Peter is encouraging these people to think of. That you will be blessed when you suffer for righteousness' sake. That that's actually a good thing. He says, have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. And then this is a key part of it. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. It should look different. For the believer, we know that whatever suffering comes, there is something in that is designed to refine us, right? Like the refiner's fire, it's got an effect on us. It's going to be something important in our lives. But we should be prepared for that, okay? And, you know, if you're doing something for the Lord and it's going well, you know that Satan's not happy with that, right? And so what do you expect? You expect opposition from Satan? Yes. And so that's a normal thing. Pastor a little while back said, we know we're on the right path because it's uphill all the way. Wow, is that encouraging or not? It's a 50-50 on that one. So we know that God is doing a special work because we see the opposition to it. We see that things are happening, trying to shut that down, that Satan doesn't want those things to happen. And so we are working and trusting the Lord to guide our steps and help us to do what he has us there to do. So we kept doing ministry in the midst of all this unknown. We kept doing what we do. Laura's a great organizer and a logistics person. She was able to pull off our regional conference there in Nicaragua. Now, it's good to know that the hotel said, hey, if there's any problems, civil unrest or anything, we'll get your deposit back to you. Good to know. Do you do that here when you look at a hotel? Hey, I'd like to stay at your place. Well, you know, if there's a problem. That's kind of what the world we live in. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe we'll be able to keep doing ministry, but we were able to do that. That was a big encouragement. We have right now missionaries in these areas, Costa Rica, Mexico, and Nicaragua. They're in Central America and Mexico. Then also we have missionaries in the Caribbean. And we're expanding into some other countries. And so we've got some workers up in Honduras. And you'll see some of that tonight. We've got some other stuff going on down in Panama now, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But God is expanding the ministry, even in the midst of the unknowns and the uproar in the world. Man, the ministry is still happening. It's exciting. We also were able to, right after that, celebrate 20 years at Centro Abem. That's our ministry center. And let me give you an idea. When your team came down, they stayed at the ministry center. The purpose of our ministry center is to see how we can accelerate church planting. Okay? Traditionally, we would plant a church. Addition, we'd add a church every couple of years. Our goal here is to train national pastors and accelerate that process so that we see a real multiplication of churches. And over the 20 years of Centro Abem, it really seems to have come to fruition. We've got, out of our church planting program, over 100 churches planted that we can count. And then there's a whole bunch more that I can't even keep count of. So things seem to be happening, and it seems to be working. So we're really happy with 20 years. And we wanted to celebrate 20 because we weren't sure if we were going to have too many more. So we just thought, hey, maybe nothing will happen, but we should celebrate now. And I want to introduce you to these guys because these, like I said, these are the faces of guys that are friends of mine that are pastors there in Nicaragua, guys that you have prayed for years that are having a big impact in our country. And I'll highlight one guy especially right there in the middle, the big guy. His name is Gregorio Rivas. Gregorio is from a interesting background. We have a group of churches up in the mountains that are called the Pueblos Blancos, and they're known for witchcraft, kind of what we would call white magic, where you would, you know, tell people's, what do you call that? Fortunes. Or if you wanted someone to fall in love with you, or you wanted to curse somebody, they could do that kind of stuff. Anyway, Gregorio comes from that background. He was training to be we call a brujo, a witch. And God got a hold of his life and changed his life. He realized that what he was doing, it was all fake. They were doing it for the money. It's a big business where we are. This brujeria, witchcraft, is a big business. And so people pay money to have, you know, all these incantations and fortunes and other things like that. God got a hold of his life, and now he's the leader of a group of churches in the northern part of Nicaragua that are planting churches all over the place. They're the ones I can't keep count of. But God got a hold of his life, came through a training program to plant churches, and captured the vision for church planting. And so that is just having a huge impact on the northern part of Nicaragua right now. They're planting lots of churches up that way. But these are guys that have been through the program, have gone on to plant churches and multiple churches. Each of those that you see there, most of those guys have multiple church plants under their belt now. And so it's happening. It's a continual thing. It's got some momentum. And that's what's exciting. Other things we do. This is the old, hey, what do you do on a daily basis? We still run mission teams as much as possible, although this year it's been difficult to get the permissions. We waited till the last minute to get some of the permissions to do that, but we just keep moving ahead. And we say, maybe nothing will happen. We're just going to keep doing ministry and doing the things we normally do. We brought down some construction over the time, whether it's at the ministry center or out at churches, and then also encouraging pastors, going out and visiting them. We try and get every pastor, especially a good Bible, good study Bible, but also other materials that they can use for ministry. It's hard for our guys to get those kind of things, so it's been a blessing to have churches give towards that and help towards that over the years. Now, the main ministry I was mentioning is what we call our Institute of Church Planters. This is where we bring in guys for a two-year period, and each month we'll have classes. They'll go plant a church. We'll have classes. They'll continue planting, and it's a process of really learning how to plant a church, but also having a group of guys around them that help them and encourage them along the way. We've had 8 graduations now out of that Managua group, but just this year we started an extension up to our north. I mentioned Gregorio and his group of churches to the north. They have 25 guys now studying in that extension, and that is amazing. I mean, we're excited to have that many guys studying, all these guys focusing on how to plant a church up in Sabico. And then just recently, we made contact with a group of churches in Honduras, and they asked us if they could do some training in church planting. And this was not expected. We've been trying to make contact with these guys for 15 years. And just out of the blue, our director ran into them at a meeting. And this is kind of a story that I have to tell you. I'm the guy over on the side there in the blue shirt. And at some point during this meeting, I lean over to the guy next to me. Now remember, I got the church planting program going in Managua, Sabico now has started, and these guys want to do church planting. I lean over to the guy and I say, where am I going to find money for another one of these programs? How am I going to get money for this? This is impossible. So right at the same time, I'm getting an email in my email box that's from a supporter of ours who said, hey, you know, I've been waiting to send in my support. So God just really impressed on me to send it in this week, and I've added in this much for you to do whatever you need to do. So I didn't know that at the time, but when I got home, I'm reading the email, and there it is. There's the provision for that program, and when I looked at the time, I realized the time is exactly when I'm telling this guy that I don't have any money for this. Oh, me of little faith. There it is. And so the last time I'm thinking about this, the last time I did 2 extensions at once, it just about killed me. And now we're working on 3. So this is really one of those situations where we don't know if we can stay in the country. What are we going to do? Lord, help us figure this out. And then boom, one after another, God's opening up these new opportunities for us. And I can't explain that. It really kind of confuses me what God does sometimes. But God is good, yeah. And he's already supplied for this. And that was not expected, but he keeps doing that. So it's kind of neat. We did an exploratory trip up there, got to know the guys. They're very similar in doctrine to the guys we work with there in Managua. Very, very much like twins in a lot of ways. They both were out of the original mission, same mission back in the day. I took a veteran missionary up, the guy that helped us start our program, went up with me, and we did our first round of classes and have 18 guys now studying right across the border in Honduras. And so this really is not what I was going for, but God had a different plan. I'm worried about staying in the country, and he's opening up new opportunities for ministry and making connections. And so then right before we came back, a group of guys from over on the East Coast came to me and said, hey, can we meet and talk about church planting? And so when I get back, I have to go over to the East Coast and meet with these guys and see if they want to be doing a church planting program over there. So again, maybe nothing will happen. Or maybe all kinds of stuff will happen. I was not expecting that. So now, this is the hard part of the lesson, is when you come to this, we have always focused on verse 2 in this passage when we talk to our church planters, that, hey, what are we here to learn in church planting? It's that what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, Entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That idea of handing off the baton, right? Like in a relay. Every church for thousands of years has done that, right? The pastor is passing off what he's learned to the people in the church. He's passing off information and knowledge and experience onto other pastors, and they're going to keep doing that. If you're a teacher, that's what you do. You're just passing off what you've learned. You get it. You pass it on. We're all doing that. If you're a parent, right? That's what you do. You're passing it on. Unfortunately, for a long time, we didn't add in the other two verses, all right? This is a sandwich. You see the sandwich here? The first is, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That really has to happen first. And that's vitally important for a church planter to be successful, is they have to be strengthened in Christ. They have to be firm and mature in Christ. So after that strengthening, they go into serving. That's where that sharing the knowledge is. That's where passing it along is. So they're strengthened, and then they're serving. And then what happens in verse 3? The part we'd like to cut off. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So there's strengthening, there's serving, and if you're going to do that, there is going to be some suffering in there. And so that is a key thing to remember. You might not put that in the job description when you're looking for a pastor. You're saying, come suffer with us as we suffer in the ministry. That's not what you usually put, but it's a reality. And remember in this passage, when Paul's writing to Timothy, Timothy is not sure if he's going to continue as an ally of Paul in the ministry, and Paul is encouraging him to stay with it, to stay the course, to endure, to keep going. But in the middle of that, he says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And so that's what we want to kind of remember as you think about what your missionaries are doing around the world. It's getting more and more difficult to serve around the world because North Americans are not as popular as they used to be. It's harder to get visas. It's harder to get permissions. It's harder to get into areas, some of those areas. And it's more expensive all the time. You know, you're paying a lot of money to get visas nowadays, and things like that are really making it more and more difficult all the time. But 20 years ago, we came to you, and this was our verse. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will perform it or bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We don't live based on the world that's changing and things that are revuelto, turned upside down. We live based on the promises that God has given us. And the promise is that God, who has begun a good work in you, will bring it to completion. And God that's done a work in ministry is going to bring that ministry to completion there if it's his will to do that. And so we trust in him to make those kind of things happen. And 20 years later, we're still in Nicaragua. We thought after 5 years, we were like, we may not be able to stay very long. 20 years later, here we are still in that region working. And God has been good to open up doors for more and more ministry. Even though we see the things around us and we don't know what's going to happen, we know that God is good and God is faithful to keep those things happening in our lives. Okay, so now that I've talked to you about suffering, I want to do some recruiting and ask you if you'd be interested in joining us on the mission field. That's what we do. We need to pass the baton, right? We need other people that are going to be involved in missions. And so I've got some options just in our region I'd like to show you. Our team Mexico is a small team, and Mexico is a huge country. Our Mexico missionaries are spread across the northern part of Mexico. You notice one of them is in Sinaloa. If you know about that region, that's where the drug cartels kind of rule. But they train migrant workers from southern Mexico, evangelize and disciple migrant workers, and then send them back into southern Mexico to try and plant churches down there. We have missionaries in Monterrey that are working with churches up in the mountains throughout there. And then our church planters, kind of our main church planters, are there in Mexico City. So if you thought, is Mexico a place where God would want you to minister? We've got some opportunities for you there in Mexico. If you are involved in the police force, or if you've been military, we have a really interesting ministry down there in Costa Rica that's now expanded into Ecuador, moving into Panama, and then also going to be here in the United States. It's called Tactica, and their goal is to work with police officers. They go in with short-term teams, do tactical training for the police officers. They give them a Bible and work through Bible studies with them. evangelizing and discipling police officers, and they're having a profound impact there in Costa Rica on the police force there in Costa Rica. And that's spread all throughout the police and the first responders. It's a great opportunity if you have that kind of background to be involved in ministry. And so if you know someone that is in that area that would like to use those talents and abilities for ministry, this is an opportunity to do that. We have information back at the table about them as well. They're the ROTS down in Costa Rica. Really, we'd love to help you connect with them and find a way to use your talents and abilities for the Lord. Oh, someone took my other card. So there's another card that we have back there. And that is a card that is about the 24-hour demo. Each year in January, in Orlando, right nearby, you have an opportunity to go to what we call the 24-hour demo. It starts Friday night, goes all day Saturday, and it's a chance for you to see what's happening all around the world in missions with ABWE, our ministry. You get to see different ministries that you could be involved in. And really, it's an exciting time because you see and hear about what God's doing all over the world. And so we'll leave some information about that as well and let you see that. And let me tell you, there are more opportunities than ever in missions. We used to just think this was a missionary. It's a pretty small box. But now there are so many different opportunities out there and so many different ways that you can be involved. Now, we are traditional missionaries. We've gone through the process of raising funds, gone to churches, gone to individuals, and raised funds over the years. That's one way of doing it. We also have short-term missions. We have internships, and we also have short-term teams. So there's all sorts of different ways that you can be involved in missions, and we want to help you find the path if you're interested in that. So please talk to us tonight. Get some information. There's our prayer card out there for your bookmark, but also one that we want to encourage you to think about, which is 9:38. Matthew 9:38 says what? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So what do we want to do? We want to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would bring forth laborers into the harvest. That's Matthew 9:38. So you set your phone for 9:38 a.m. and p.m., and when that goes off, it reminds you to pray for laborers for the harvest. But there's also a card out there to remind you to do that, okay? So that's my recruiting time. Come suffer with us. How about that? Well, there's more to this. You can, again, connect with us, but let's look at what James says, because now we're going to talk about prayer requests, what you can pray for when you pray for missionaries and think about what they're doing. James said, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials, right? Count it all joy. Joy. It's not always pleasant. It's not always an enjoyable time when things are happening and it's a weight on your shoulders, okay? The example I feel really physically shows that is when you go, remember when you went to the dentist and you were getting the x-rays? Remember what they put on you, that lead jacket? What did that feel like? Oh man, it feels like a weight. I've literally crossed borders and felt that weight lifted. It's a weird thing, but I went across the border and I'm just like, man, why does it feel so different? And I realized I was in a place where I could talk freely and say things. You know, I could think freely. It was a weight that was lifted. We have missionaries around the world that are living in areas that are weighty. They're under oppression. It may be from the government that's there, maybe from the religion that's there. Maybe they can't speak openly about their faith and they have to do it in a certain way. It weighs on a human being to be under that kind of stress over long periods of time. So when you think about praying for your missionaries, especially in those countries that you know are difficult, pray for joy and pray for happiness in the midst of that kind of a setting, because it wears them down over time. They feel it. It's difficult to do that. So when you pray for them, you know that God has a purpose in that. The trying of our faith works out patience. It's something that's good for us, but it is a challenge for missionaries to be joyful in the midst of that suffering. It's not fun. Our friends were just in the cedula office, what do you call that, the immigration, for 7 hours waiting for their cards to get their residency. And you think, it's not fun, but can you have joy in that? That doesn't come from within me, right? Where does that come from? That has to be a joy that comes from the Lord. That has to be a happiness that comes from the Lord, because I can't create that inside of me when it's 100 degrees and I'm in the midst of a, you know, annoying office visit, that has to be a joy that comes from the Lord. So when you pray for missionaries, you pray for that. And also pray for wisdom, that we would manage well the different situations we're in. Every country's a little different. Every country has their rules and their own way of doing things, but that your missionaries would be wise about how they manage their relationships in those countries. Because after all, look what it says. The man who remains steadfast when he has stood the test will receive the crown of life. And so when you pray for endurance for that missionary, you're praying that they can reach that point right there, that they can endure, that they can be happy, that they can be a good testimony, that they can have joy even in the midst of the difficulties that are on the field nowadays. So I've got some actual specific prayer requests for you. First of all, thanking the Lord for the doors he's opening up. It is exciting to see what God is doing, opening new paths for ministry, opening up new places that we can minister. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe we'll just continue to do that. That's what we're hoping to do. That's what we're planning to do, is we're just going to keep doing ministry until we're not allowed to do that anymore. But in the midst of that, pray for stamina for missionaries so that they would endure, that they would be able to keep moving forward. We pray that for our pastors. A lot of our pastors live in very humble situations. It's very, very draining on them as well. It's tough for them in a what is now a real weak economy to be able to provide for their families. They sacrifice a lot. And then pray for joy in the midst of those difficulties. Would your missionaries have joy and really tap into God's grace in that? And then also pray for laborers for the harvest. Overall, we have a lot of places. If you're interested in serving, there's a ton of different opportunities around the world. And that is for every age group as well. I know you're probably thinking, boy, I'm going to pray for those young people that they'd commit to missions. Well, I'm praying for every age of you to commit to missions. We've got opportunities all over the place and different opportunities for people to be involved. And we want you to find that place. Overall, it still comes back to knowing that we have a promise from God that he who began a good work in us is going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Where is that going to be? It could change. Tomorrow could change for us. Tomorrow could change for you. But we know that God is faithful to all the way along walk with us through whatever is going to happen because he has a plan and purpose for us. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you've been faithful to us over the years. We just thank you for this church and the way you've been faithful to them and the way that you've walked with them day by day. We're thankful for the relationship we've had over these years in prayer and support and mission teams. And we just ask that you continue to bless the ministry here and bless the ministry there in Nicaragua as we try and move forward and see people's lives change through the gospel. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of some to think about missions and maybe find a way to be involved, more involved, whether that's through praying or whether that's through giving or whether it's through going. Especially, Lord, we do pray for those that would go, that you would open up their minds and hearts to thinking about missions and thinking about a way that they could serve, whether it's here at home or overseas. Lord, we just ask that you would encourage us all to serve you day by day and take your word to those you